Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an al-Hakim has stated, Allah ta'ala has mentioned in this verse a message. This is a unique message in the Qur'an. And after hearing this verse, the mu'min, the person who has got iman, who has got belief, then the direction of that person's life changes. Allah Ta'ala has said in this verse that without any doubt, Allah Ta'ala will take hisab, will account for everything. Ala kulli shay'in hasiba. Allah Ta'ala will take the hisab of everything. One wali said that this verse is what changed me. Such a great verse that it gives the understanding to a person. What is the understanding it gives to a person? That an individual should live life with total caution. Total caution. When a person realizes, then everything, ala kulli shay'in hasiba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab for everything. Everything. For every word, Allah will take the hisab. Everything. What does this mean? That whatever person there is, if he's speaking, doing an action, or thinking, Allah ta'ala said that everything will have to be accounted for in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. So what we realize here is that the life of a mu'min, of a believer, is total caution, exercising caution, being careful. And only that person who is cautious and careful can be successful. It's not an open playing field like a wild horse. Say what you want, decide what you want, be angry when you want, treat someone the way you want. That if you want to treat somebody badly, you can treat them badly. No, it is not like this. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, on every footstep, every thought, every word, that you have to ask yourself, am I doing right or am I wrong? There's an example of this, which is a weird example. The life of a Muslim should pass in which way? Just for example, somebody is wearing clean clothes, he's walking, and in front of him there's a pond or water or puddle, and there's mud. Then he will pass that puddle with extreme care, that I don't want the splashes to come onto my clothes. I want to pray salah. I don't want to become impure. I don't want stains on my clothes. Yes? So a person will do this, won't he? So this is the life of a person. Allah Ta'ala says that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. And when a person lives the life in that way, he knows that he's got the fear of Allah, the khawf of Allah. He knows that my hisab will take place. I have to be presented in the court of Allah. On every footstep, the mu'min will take every step with great thought and consideration, and every situation and scenario in life will be thought through, every thought process, and he will not have any bad relationships, or he will not upset people without any reason, any good reason, nothing at all. He will not take a wrong step, and this is the life of the mu'min. So what we realize is that a mu'min has no control. In other words, not control-wise, we say we can do ibadah when we want, and we can leave ibadah when we want, and we can do what we want when we want. Sometimes we're in one color, the next day we're in another color. In terms of the lifestyle I'm speaking, this is not life. Inna Allaha kana ala kulli shay'in hasiba. Allah Ta'ala says that I will, verily, Allah keeps count indeed of all things. Of all things, we have to live our life extremely carefully, because everything in our life, all of the situations and the scenarios and the actions and the practice in our life should be totally done carefully, with thought and correctly. Why doesn't an insan do this? Because he doesn't have yaqeen in Allah. He doesn't have yaqeen. The mufassireen have said that here, a person who doesn't have yaqeen in these words that there will be hisab, we just hear, but we don't have yaqeen. We hear from the ulama, we hear bayans or speeches and lectures, but we don't have yaqeen in this. We don't have yaqeen in this. If we had yaqeen, if we had certainty in this, then we wouldn't doubt. If we had, for example, yaqeen that there will be rain outside, if I have total certainty, then how will I leave the home or the building I'm in into the rain? Yes, it would be difficult for me to go, isn't it? Otherwise, for example, I'll wear clothes that will not to get soaked, and I'll go out with protection so that I don't get soaked. And if there's fire outside, then I'll go out carefully. I'll go out carefully, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala say that you didn't have yaqeen. You have no yaqeen in me, that I'm your Rabb, I'm your Khaliq, I'm your Creator, you will die, my court will be presented, established, the day of Qiyamah will come, you'll have to stand there, you will die, you will go into the grave, there will be life in the grave, you'll have to account for your deeds and answer for all of your actions. And if a person has yaqeen in this, certainty in this, then how can he live the life of, oh, I have my own choice, my own free will, I can do what I like. How can this be? So me and you, if we think now, that what kind of Muslims are we? Allah Ta'ala is making us aware, my brothers, that if something comes late, it's at least it's come late. Better late than never. We still have life. We should sit and promise that Allah Ta'ala give us that aql, understanding and wisdom and acceptance that we have yaqeen, certainty on everything of yours that's been given to us. When we read the Quran, may we have certainty and belief and we will hear good things. This is verse is enough for one individual to pull himself together. This verse is enough, isn't it? That when I start to speak, I'll know that, oh, I'll have to account for my speech, my words. If I give and take transactions, buying and selling, I'll have to answer for my actions. If I commit excess or oppress, I'll have to answer for it. If I leave an ibadah, worship, I'll have to answer for it. If I do something wrong to somebody or myself, I'll have to answer for it. When this awareness is created within a human being, alhamdulillah, then he will live the life of a person with iman, mu'min. Praise be to Allah. This Quran wasn't for words, stories, tales. We just sit and gossip and chit-chat and exchange ideas and opinions. No, this is not about talking to each other and opinion formation. This is for life, to improve our lives. And alhamdulillah, even if today we realize what is life, if we realize that what is life and what is the correct life when we control ourselves, then we say, no, it's the Khaliq, the Malik, Allah. I have to answer to him. I have to wake up the right way, do this in the evening, do this in the afternoon, buy and sell like this, give and take like this. And my home scenario should be good, and my relationships should be good. My mu'amulat should be good. My giving to others, dealings should be good. And if anger comes, I should suppress it. If happiness is there, how should I exercise that happiness? How should I create relationships and bonds with people? Isn't this the case? Because we have to give hisab in the hereafter. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, Inna Allah kana ala kulli shayin hasiba. I will take count of all things and account you for all things. And when we have to account for every second, then imagine if there's something lacking, then Allah has prepared Jahannam as a consequence. Allah said that you will get punishment. Immediate Jahannam, a person will be thrown into the ditch of Jahannam, hellfire, as a consequence of sins and ill thought out actions. May Allah Ta'ala give us the life of caution, being careful and considerate, and thinking things through. In Sunan Abi Dawood, there's a hadith with regards to this subject, and I'm presenting this in our service. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice this, that a person who's not cautious and a person who is cautious, look at the difference. Look at the difference. Now, on the day of judgment, according to this hadith, the meaning of this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, an individual, due to living the life of freedom and just total, you can say, without, you know, broken the shackles and do what he wants. And for example, it's not the case that on the day of judgment you'll have a barrister and a solicitor, and then I'll go on bail and go to jail and come out. No, this is the court of Allah. There's no hisab, there's no wakil. There will be no barrister, no judge there to help you, no bail. Allah will decide, and the angels will chain the person, shackle him up and pull him away. Allah has mentioned this every day in the Quran. We read this. The ulama, the respectful ulama, they tell us this. We hear, we read, we know every day. But it comes out of our minds and our hearts. We have doubt, or we have non-certainty, or we have weakness. Shaitan and nafs, the devil and our desires have imprisoned us. We think that we have reached, oh, I've done this, I've done that, oh, I'm the best. If I get angry, somebody who's below me in power, I will suppress him and tread on him and trample him. Astaghfirullah. No hisa. No consideration. No caution. So with regards to this subject, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us in this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, there will be such people on the day of judgment from the ummah. They will be given an ajib adab, a unique form of punishment on the day of judgment will be served to them. What will be the punishment served to them? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in Jahannam, in their mouths, they will have two tongues, and they will be two tongues of fire. Na'udhu billah, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. He'll be conscious. Not that he's dead, he's gone into the soil, into the grave. This is not the concept of Islam. There's no dust or soil or grave that is hollow and empty. The man will become in the grave just like what he is now. Now, alive, conscious, alert, aware. For example, me, you now, we're sitting here and suddenly we pass away. Yes, we cannot even, for example, absorb if there's a spot or a boil. We put creams on, we go to the doctor. I don't want it to become a cancerous boil. We take injections, see what happens in the grave. Within a second after we are buried, we will become alive again. Yes, the last breath was drawn in this world, in the earth, we're buried. Janazah will take place, and it hasn't even completed. How long does it take after dying, going to the grave? How long does it take? Some hours? Just a little bit of time. Very quickly, the people of the world, they say, oh, get rid of him quickly. We've got to go back to work. We've got to go. Not even the father is kept, nor the mother is kept, nor even the wife is kept. Even those who we embraced in our life, we say, oh, please, please go. If we keep them for too long in the world, after they die, they'll smell. The body will start smelling. Stop after a little while, the beating, the lamenting, our own. How we betray each other and forget each other. Allah Ta'ala showed that people turn the opposite direction. That person, those people we loved and we were proud of, we considered us our own, they'll leave us. They'll say, oh, quickly, quickly, he's died. We'll keep them for a little while in the coffin. And they don't even keep the body in the house. They say, no, in the fridge with the ice. Because otherwise the body will decompose and then the smell will start to come. That's what happens in the dunya. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us from calamity. We don't have yaqeen in this. We see this. We see this. And this is the biggest weakness of insan. Despite having iman and we don't have yaqeen, certainty and belief, then we have some big thing lacking. Allahu Akbar. We are lacking belief and certainty. There's a big, big lack of trust and belief and conviction. The hadith tells us what is our hal. It's stated in hellfire. Rasulullah said that these people will have adha punishment, that they will have two tongues of fire in their mouths. Na'uzu billah. And how long will this carry on for? Forevermore. Forevermore. What will be my hal, your hal, our hal? May Allah forgive us if we're in that scenario, that situation. Who will save us? Who will save us? Is there anybody who will save us? Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, stated that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know who these people will be with the two tongues of fire in the day of judgment? We think, oh, he did a big sin, major sin, or he didn't do this act of worship. Oh, I pray salah, I do good actions, I worship, I cannot be in that situation. I'll say this, won't I? I think this, Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah, remember his statement. What a great, great statement, maqula. He stated, and he was Hakimul Ummah, the physician of the Ummah, the physician of the believers. Ibadah, worship becomes a habit, said Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah. Don't be proud of your ibadah. Ibadah becomes a habit. This becomes a habit for a person. Today you don't get up, then you start getting up. People in Jamaat will take you, inshallah, once or twice they'll sit you down and then they'll speak to you and you'll know about deen and you'll become habitual in salah. You'll become namazi, isn't it? So ibadah becomes a habit. But this is not how it should be. Ibadah, it becomes a habit. But what is this? That the habit in reality is what the inside us, the khabaith, the khabaith, the wretchedness that's inside us, we have to keep on opposing them, fighting them. Oh, I'm fine now, but tomorrow the same problem. Oh, I'm fine now, I've done tawbah, I've repented, and every day I hear this story, I'm too good today, I'm going to be better. But this is all drama. Person needs to constantly strive and improve himself. Don't joke with Allah. Don't challenge Allah. This is not our life that I've completed, I've achieved, I'm good now, I'll be fine tomorrow, I don't need to do anything anymore. No, no, no. This is not the case. Make a habit for a person to improve his akhlaq, his conduct and manners. When the kafiyah, the emotions inside become good, don't be proud of your salah, of my worship. This becomes a habit. 30 days if we fasted, what are the differences between the first day of fasting and the last day? Because by the last day becomes a habit. Then a person by 2 p.m., yes, he becomes hungry. Hungry, isn't it? And because we have a habit of eating in the first day, we're hungry by 2 p.m. But by the end of the month, we won't be hungry because we've fasted for 30 days. But we haven't struck the bullseye. But the real achievement is that we should annihilate lying during that month. And that should become the habit of not lying. That's when enjoyment is achieved. Success is achieved. So it's stated that Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what was the sin of that person that the conclusion was two tongues of fire in Jahannam. This is such a sin. We don't even see it as a sin.
we have this as a quality in our lives, astaghfirullah. In today's societies, amongst me and you and the people around us, we think that this is a good quality. We praise that person. Oh, this is that person. He's got good characteristics. He is a good man. He's a good woman. That this is what's being explained here. That the insan who makes this sin, commits this sin, then Allah will take hisab of that person. And shaitan has flipped it upside down. Rather, today we praise such people who have this sin inherent in their lives. What is this sin? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that that individual who has two faces, the two-faced person. The two-faced person, yeah? The person, not literally with two faces, but he's two-faced. How many tongues will he have thereafter? He'll have two faces and two tongues. Because in the world, he had a life of two ruh, two directions, two faces. Allah will change his face on the day of judgment. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. He had two faces. Yes, then it's explained further by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great example given. First example was given, the reason that he was like a munafiq, the hypocrites. So he wasn't a munafiq itself, but he was like the munafiq. He recited kalima, prayed salah, he kept the fast, he did umrah, he went on hajj, he recited Quran. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? You not understand what I'm saying? Is this touching our hearts? Do we understand the concept here? That he does everything, he acts out all the worship actions, but he's like a munafiq, a hypocrite. But inside he will be a munafiq. Externally, a worshipper. Mu'min, people say, oh, he's so good, a believer. But inside he'll be the munafiq, the two-faced person. So we need to create the connection with Allah. He will say, outwardly, I've got a connection with Allah. But Allah's Nabi says, he will be like the munafiq, the hypocrite. And now the specifics are being mentioned that he'll be the two-faced person. What are the qualities of that person? We're going to specifics now. And that is the reason why today we say, oh, he's a good man. He's a big man, we say in the world. So what are the sins that he will commit? Allah's Nabi said that he's a hypocrite, the two-faced person. What is the sin he committed? That amongst different people, go to different people and it spread different discussion points. He'd leave the house and he'd say something, no, this is fine. Then he'd go to someone else, he'd say something else. Then he'll go to the third person and he'd give another account. And he'd say, no, he's not like this, he's like this. And he would spread vicious rumors. And we call this diplomacy, hikmah, but this is hypocrisy. We don't call this hypocrisy. This is what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. We say this is hikmah. He is a man of wisdom. He's clever. He's alert. He's diplomatic. He's sharp. He's witty with his business, giving, taking, home, family, relationships. He has two faces wherever he goes. Son with the father and the wife with the children, the husband with the wife. Wherever we see, nobody can trust anybody from the inside anymore nowadays. I tell you the reality. Yes, your wife will not trust you and the children won't trust you. I don't know what my father is saying. Is he right or wrong? Honest, dishonest. Your relatives won't trust you. Your people at home won't trust you. People you know around you won't trust you, believe in you. You'll be in the masjid. You'll leave the masjid. Nobody will trust or rely on another person because we don't know on which basis is this person speaking, from which angle, from which background. He says something here. He goes somewhere else. He says something else. Then he goes to a third place. He says something else. Is this not our mahal today? Is this not our society? Take politics, home affairs, personal affairs. In the political world, that individual is praised. The person who has two faces, who is a hypocrite, who changes his face and color wherever he goes, oh, he's a politician. Oh, he's achieved. Yes, to break the bonds, to speak against people. This is kharafat. From amongst the qualities of a mu'min, whatever a mu'min is inside, he's outside. One decision, say subhanallah. What he said, clear. He said, clear, transparent is the mu'min as a human being. Transparent. He doesn't have two faces, two directions. If he says, here, you are wrong, then outside he'll tell you're wrong. If in front of a man, he'll say he's wrong. In front of 10 other people, he'll say he's wrong. He will not shake hands. No. Oh, when he meets another person, he'll wink and say, I'm just joking. But, for example, as long as I'm okay and I'm fine, as long as my seat is strengthened, as long as my job is strengthened, as long as my business is strengthened, as long as my relationships are strengthened, this is the principle of our life. But what is the punishment nowadays? These are the principles of life. But Rasulullah said that such an individual, and 99% possibly of people today in this world are doing this and will depart the world like this. Allahu Akbar. Two faces. The man with two faces. And we have relationships like this. Our businesses run like this. Our weddings occur like this. Our homes, family affairs run like this. Friendship affairs run like this. Oh, just please this man and displease this person. Oh, don't displease him. Keep him happy. Keep him happy so that if I scratch his back, he'll scratch mine and we get benefit and we can exchange goodness with each other. Is this not happening in the world today? No? The rest of the people, mashallah, he's praying salah, he's doing ibadah, he's worshipping, he's pious, and he's the best person. My brothers, we need to strengthen the relationship with Allah. Make it solid. Look from inside. The hadith tell us that look at yourself from inside, analyze yourself from inside, weigh yourself on the balance scales according to the guidance of Rasulullah. We have to ask ourselves, alhamdulillah, this is good habit to worship Allah's great shukr. We are so grateful and thankful to Allah. He's given us the tawfiq to do worship. This is Allah's mercy, great mercy. But at the same time, on the other hand, we are spoiling our hereafter. Allah has given us ni'mas of prostration, ruku, bowing, salah, going to jama'ah, congregation, and tilawah, recitation. But we are so disrespectful and rude that we reject the other side of life, which is to be a good person, not to be two-faced. Such a person who has tawfiq to worship, he should be more cautious. That Allah, I want to protect my ibadah. I need to save my ibadah. This is a great ni'mah you've given to me, Allah. That you give me thousands from thousands of ni'mahs. You give me a ni'mah of going to your home in the morning to pray Fajr Salah in Jama'ah. Is this a small ni'mah? Person recites Quran. He listens to something from a good person. He sits in front of an alim and hears his good words or his hadith. This is a great ni'mah. Great treasure of Allah. So should we waste the worship actions by doing wrong in society? We can only be successful with our worship. It can only be accepted when internally we refine ourselves, improve ourselves, purify ourselves, become better human beings, and run away from the life of two-faced person. Do we make a promise? Solid promise we won't do this? Don't wait till morning. Till morning we have to promise now that we will leave the life of hypocrisy and the two-faced individual who's something here and something else, somewhere else. No. The example, Rasulullah said, the reason for this, why is a person two-faced? Because he's like the munafiqeen. Because he's got nifaq, the qualities of hypocrisy in his heart or her heart. You are munafiq inside, your heart is dirty. Where does nifaq emanate from, my brothers? Where does it come from? The depths of the heart. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your heart is dirty, impure and destroyed. Look, if the sin of insides are not removed, the heart will stay dirty. All of the results, the sins, the impure actions are a result, a consequence of a dirty heart. If, for example, a water tank becomes dirty, then all of the water that goes through the pipes and into the taps will be dirty with smell and fungi, bacteria. And if you take the water out of a nice stainless steel tap, but the water will be impure because the tank up top is dirty. So if our heart is dirty and impure, then our actions, which are a consequence of the heart status, will be impure and dirty and smelly. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, eliminate nifaq, hypocrisy. How? Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah said, with my name, do my dhikr, do wudu, and do ghusl of your heart. Wash yourself, purify yourself internally. Wash your heart just like you wash your bodies with water. And what water do we need to wash the heart? Allahu, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Subhanallah. The isme that, the name of Allah, we should use that to purify our hearts. When an insan says, La ilaha illallah, then he's doing wudu of his heart. He's purifying his or her heart. When we sit down and say, Allah, 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 then inside our heart is being cleaned. The impurities are being removed, eliminated. The dirt is being eliminated. Yes, half an hour. If you sit down 30 minutes and do maraqaba, silent dhikr, in the heart, Allah, 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 then praise be to Allah, glory be to Allah, you will come up after dhikr so light as if you have not even sinned before that. Subhanallah. We don't even want to do this. We don't even try, we don't even attempt. Okay, if our clothes are getting dirty with stains, then we should put them in the washing machine. If you don't have a washing machine at home, go to the laundry, put the washing powder, surf inside, and clean the clothes. So if we know inside our hearts we have impurity, dots on our heart, blots, and we know we've committed sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this reason has not given us upper limit on the amount of dhikr we should do. Look, every ibadah, worship action has an amount. Quran, if you read the Quran, the greatest faraid actions, the compulsory actions, there are 5 times salah in the day, fard. And until Qiyamah will stay the same. How much thawab will get? The thawab of 50, subhanAllah, due to the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, can you pray? Can you say, oh, the 6th salah I will pray today? No. You can pray extra salah, which is nawafil, but Allah says, I want 5 in the day and no more. If you can pray 5 khalis, pure, that's what you need to do. Deliver to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this not the case? So every fard action has a limit, a quantity. Fasting in Ramadan, 29, 30 days, or zakat, a certain amount. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to his dhikr, has not defined an amount, a quantity, upper limit. The objective of dhikr is different. The ibadah of dhikr, the effect of dhikr. Dhikr is a cure. It's a prescribed cure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given his dhikr, his remembrance, not as ibadah, not as worship. for worship, there are many other actions. Thus, we don't do dhikr for ibadah. I'll do dhikr, I'll get this much thawab and reward. Leave thawab and reward and sawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He gives for His dhikr, He will give the reward 100%. No doubt. You do any action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is inherent reward. But understand the objective of doing dhikr of Allah. We are munafiqs, we are hypocrites, we are mushrik. We have big defects inside and impurities, and no action can purify the heart. Ala bi dhikrillah. Subhanallah. Allah has announced in the Quran, Ala bi dhikrillah. There's no action that can wash your heart. There's no ibadah. But if you pray salah, you will stay as a munafiq. You do talawat, you'll stay as a munafiq. You're doing hajj, you're doing hajj as a munafiq. There's only wahid, one action. When you do dhikr Allah, you remember Allah, not 12 tasbih, 13 tasbih, 14 tasbih, 15 minutes, no. Depends on how big a munafiq you are, how much of a hypocrite you are. And if you don't analyze yourself, self-analysis, I want to be pure now, I've started to clean myself, purify myself, carry on doing dhikr. Wadhkurullaha kathira. Subhanallah. Yes, bukra'atan wa asila. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that food spiritual for you is dhikr kathira. But alhamdulillah, your mamool, your habit should be do dhikr morning and evening. Morning and evening. And don't just leave it at that. And this is ibadah. We do 10 tasbih and I've done enough. No. No. Maraqaba, dhikr silent in the heart, we have to do all the time. If for example, if I say to you that you have to do 12,000 tasbih, someone's got 1,000, someone's got 10,000, somebody's got 15,000, somebody 50,000, I prescribe different quantities, different maris, different patients, different amounts. Even if I prescribe 100,000 to somebody, then the 100,000 limit is there for tasbih. But there's no limit for the dhikr in the heart. That I've given you dhikr on your heart, and you have to do that all the time. You have to assign your heart 24/7 to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 24/7, all the time. So look, I'm explaining to you the points. Even and then, if you don't understand, then how sad a state of affairs this is. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no limit to the amount of dhikr. If Allah Ta'ala has given no limit, then how can I give you a limit? Do 10 tasbih, 15 tasbih? No. This is the khuraq. This is the spiritual food. Allah says, remember me morning and evening. Remember me morning and evening. Allah Ta'ala has a portion of time, two times that you have to most definitely that time sit so that you don't go astray. But with regards to dhikr, morning and evening is not enough, and then you're free. Allah says, in the day, just do what you want. No. Wadhkurullaha kathira. Remember me in high abundance. Allah says, open playing field, because we are sick, we are ill. There are many maladies, many defects, many sicknesses. Allah says that there are many defects. So in the heart, the nifaq that's in the heart. And Allah says, if you don't correct this, then Allah says that this will continue. فَزَادَهَمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah says, then you won't depart as a mu'min, you'll depart as a person without iman, because you didn't learn from the Qur'an, Allah will say. How can it be that today you pray salah today, then you become a thief tomorrow, you become good today, then you start drugs again tomorrow? What's the reason for this? What's the reason for this? Because you haven't looked at yourself inside. There's so much dirt and impurity. The ghosts are inside you, the buts are inside you, the idols are inside you. You're not looking inside you. Why? Because the sheikh, he doesn't jump on the student when he doesn't do a lot of dhikr. The sheikh has been given to us for this reason, so that we can keep on doing good actions. But when it comes to with regards to dhikr, that's why we do qalbi dhikr. We don't do dhikr from the tongue. In Naqshbandi teachings in Silsila, tell me, what is the dhikr of the tongue that we are taught? No, there isn't. No sheikh, will you take any Naqshbandi sheikh, take anyone, he doesn't count the number of tasbih. We say subhanallah. If we say to the sheikh, is it tasbih? Are you Naqshbandi? You look like you are Chishti. Sounds like you are Chishti. Oh, Qadariya. This is not what we do. This is not our dhikr. We are Naqshbandi. We follow the Naqshbandi teaching and subject. And that is the silsala, the series of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his dhikr was what? It was the dhikr of his beloved, his mahbub, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they stayed together. So from all of the sahaba, who got the most company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Mulana sahab will tell me. Who from all of the sahaba, 124,000 stars in the skies, the moons and the stars in the sun. From all of the sahaba, no sahabi, no companion could compare as Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest company of the Prophet. And you are his children. You are Naqshbandi. Say subhanallah. What a great name Allah has given. And it's so sad that person is Naqshbandi. When he dies, that he dies like a monkey. He's a Naqshbandi and he's not got dhikr inside his heart. What will be his hal? After today, make a true promise that every moment we will attach ourselves to our hearts. Will we do this? Yes. not a movement of the tongue. We don't do tasbih for this. We never kept the tasbih in our hands. I don't know why when we see the people got tasbih in your hand, I said, are you Naqshbandi or what are you? You have the tasbih in your hand. Allah Ta'ala has given you a higher status than this. Why are you looking out for pride and showing people tasbih? Everything do from your heart, whatever you have to do. Make your heart alive and assign it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani Rahmatullah Alayhi said that the initiation of the Mubtadi, the start point of the student of the Naqshbandi teachings, listen to one thing very carefully. I'm not comparing or challenging with Qadri, Chishtiya. I am the servant of all four silsilas. I have the permission. Hazrat Sheikh has given me written permission. You are Qadri, Chishti, and Surwardi. And you can teach this, but you will become more, you are more Naqshbandi as the teacher. You have to stay more as a Naqshbandi. So Alhamdulillah, all the silsilas are there for us. And we embrace them all. But water will be called water, and milk will be called milk, and cream will be called cream in the hereafter. And this is the easiest path, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has given this to us, the Naqshbandi series, the Naqshbandi silsila, and subject, and path. And the student of the Naqshbandi silsila, and he doesn't remember Allah in his heart, this is ajeeb. Ajeeb. So a person, if he becomes a Naqshbandi student, what is a Naqshbandi? Whose heart has the name of Allah imprinted on a Naqsh. Subhanallah, Allah's name imprinted on the heart. Like this, the Shaykh puts the finger on the heart and imprints it. And that person's called Naqshbandi. Then he will never do the drama with the fadl of Allah. Oh, I commit sin sometimes. Oh, Alhamdulillah. If you've left the cigarette and you've become a Naqshbandi, then the rest of your life you will not touch the cigarette. And then if you've thrown away the glass of alcohol, the next rest of your life you will not touch alcohol. That is the true Naqshbandi. Because the name of Allah is imprinted on that. What's the point of now turning back? I will now travel along with Allah. Now is dhikr and fikr, remembering Allah and worry and Allah's remembrance and nothing else. So how much do we have to do? Kathir. And what is the meaning of kathir? Not tasbihat, but in the heart every moment. Allah, 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 Allah. We should practice so much. Because everything we have to practice, isn't it? Every moment, even 2 minutes, if you sit and do maraqabah. Even if you have 1 minute spare, do maraqabah. Even a second spare, do maraqabah. Just bow your head down and focus on the heart and remember Allah in the heart. Just like, for example, when the pigeon sits down and closes its eyes and bows its head. In the same way, nobody looks around at the Naqshbandi. If you come to the masjid, nobody in the Naqshbandi will look around what's happening. Until the takbir tahrima, until the beginning of salah, he will continue and do dhikr of the heart. And when takbir is called, iqama, then he stands for salah. Even if a person gets 2 minutes, that's enough time. I tell you the reality, in those 2 minutes, that a person starts to have kashf, vision. He starts to do ziyarah of the pious elders. In the 2 minutes of silent dhikr of the heart, before salah starts, because he's come to the house of Allah. And what time is it? The takbir, iqamah is about to be called. And the individual is in the masjid waiting for fard salah. Imam sahib is about to come. There are 2 minutes to go. He's got 2 minutes which are so precious, the most precious 2 minutes in the life. In the house of Allah, in the front row. And waiting for jamaat, for congregation salah, fard salah, and the angels are descending, Allah's rahmah and mercy is descending. At that time a person is sitting and is busy in the dhikr of Allah doing maraqabah, then kash comes through that person's heart. And sometimes we've heard from the pious, because I've heard this, and the pious elders said that 2 minutes, they seem like an individual 10 years has done maraqabah. That's how long it looks. That's how much is the effect of the Naqshbandi dhikr and teachings. Then you cannot do this by words and talking. I've come, sat down, chit-chat. I mean, look at the clock. How long is there left to namaz? Mulana sahab hasn't come here. Where's Mulana sahab? Oh, if he comes late for 1 minute due to wudu, then the whole masjid is looking at him. Why is he late? We do this, don't we? But the Naqshbandi silsila doesn't do this. The Naqshbandi doesn't have to do this. The Naqshbandi student says, oh, if he's late 5 minutes more, that's fine. So I can do dhikr in the heart. Isn't it, Mulana sahab? If the Mulana is Naqshbandi, then subhanAllah, he knows himself, the coming, forgive him if he comes a little bit late. Forgive him, he's a Naqshbandi. So anyway, my friends, great hadith that we've heard today. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to be saved from this sin. We shouldn't have two faces. We shouldn't be two-faced individuals, because otherwise we'll have two faces in the hereafter, and two tongues of fire, two eyes, and double the mouth, and double the body, and in which form, appearance, just like the big mountains, he'll have the ugly form in Jahannam. The ugly form in hellfire, such big ugly appearances, the mouth will be disfigured, may Allah Ta'ala forgive, and two tongues will be put on their face. For which reason? Because we did not fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah, because we live the life of two-faced people. Why? In reality, that person, because we have the mard, we have the disease in our hearts, because we didn't cure the disease. We didn't focus on our hearts and clean them. We didn't go towards dhikr. We didn't sit with the people of dhikr. We didn't have awareness that we are ill. And this will be the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala save us all and give us all the tawfiq to become good people. Ameen.